I just want to speak about or share about whose church is it? I was speaking with a young man who will be speaking here in the very near future, and we are just talking about the church and what God originally intended in His church, and what man has done with it ever since. And so this morning I just want to just share from Scripture a little bit about this. So if you will, turn your Bibles to Matthew 16 and verses 13 through 18. That's where we'll begin. Before we begin, I've got to give a shout out to my brother who's here from Fairbanks, brother Austin. And how you doing, brother? Hey, it's just Austin for I'm just gonna say many years was an integral part of the rescue mission up there, Fairbanks Rescue Mission. And so under him and several others, under their leadership, it was just a small place, and it grew, and they were able to help those who were in need, and just an amazing thing. And so so he's moving down this way, him and his bride. They're moving down this way. So I'm leading the charge, all right? All the people from Fairbanks are coming this way. So, but it is great to have you here this morning, Austin. Really, really is, brother. I love you. Amen. All right. So let's get to God's word. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Heavenly Father, this morning, as we transition from singing songs of praise, we dive into your love letter that you have penned for us. Father, I pray that what is shared this morning is of you, and that that what comes out of my mouth this morning is only what you would have me to say. Let me get out of the way, Father, what those who need to hear need to hear. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, church signs. They tell us a lot about the church members, right? Kind of. The signs, they range from like the ones we have out here in front, you know, plywood and carved in. We have our name there, a nice size sign, to the kind of signs that are huge, right? They're eye-catching. They're huge. They cost the price of them are like buying a brand new car. They're huge. They're huge. But more than that, the point of the sign is obvious. They tell whose church meets there. But more than a sign by the road, we need to tell adequately whose church it is. In fact, it becomes serious business when we try to reflect on those whose church it is. So, whose church is it? One. It's the Lord's church. What does that mean? It means he planned the church and set its purposes and boundaries. He is the church architect. The Apostle Paul wrote that even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Ephesians 1:4. He called the church into the beginning. He says, I will build my church in Matthew 16:18. We just got through reading it. He didn't have in mind a denomination, all right? He didn't say, I'm creating the first church of God, Nazarene Baptist, whatever. He didn't assign a denomination to his church. I think that's, we kind of messed that up. That's just JR. Nor was there any hierarchy assigned or organization or an architectural structure in which the church must fall under. It must have this many doors and this many rows of seats, and it must have pews, or it must have hymnals, or... What he had in mind was a mission. The church he called into being was a group of people who would confess to him as Savior and represent him in our walk. Today we proudly proclaim Jesus is our Lord in our church and the Lord of this church. It says in Romans 14:9, it says, for to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. It is his church. He has a right to rule it, and no one else. So what should it mean to us that Jesus is Lord of the church? It should remind us that it belongs to the Lord. It's the most distinctive honor we will ever have to be a part, to be his church. Imperfect as we are, there's not one perfect person in here. The Lord has claimed us. He says we're his. And we are to serve him. We could never thank him enough. Never thank him enough for reaching out and saying, come here. Come here. You will be my church. Our gratitude motivates us to persevere in the church. I said before, this is a fixed fight. We are on the winning side. One of the church's severest critics said that the church is like a sinking ship. He said that the ship, he says, has festivities that are going on that are being held with glorious music is being heard. But below the waterline, a leak has sprung. The vessel is settling lower with every passing hour, and the pumps are being manned day and night. This person says, this is the opinion of one critic looking at the church from the outside. We had better take Jesus' estimate in this. It says, he insists the gates of Hades would not prevail against it. Instead of giving up on the church, which so many do, let us see what is wrong with our part of the ship and correct the program. What is wrong with us? And what can we do to fix it? I'll leave it alone. Let you think on that. and come back to me when you have an answer. Christ gave his all for us, and he expects us to do the same for him. He wants us to accept his mission, use his gifts. I look at our team this morning. It's not that any one of these musicians here just like, hey, look what I can do. I can bang out some keys. I hope you realize, they realize that that's a gift God has given each and every one of us, even those who sing. That's a gift from God. And maybe your gift from God is just to be able to walk up to somebody and say, hey, what you know about Jesus? Maybe you can't be that bold. Maybe it's just you're living it out. But the gift that he has given you, and each and every one of you have one, he's given it for you to use. What good would it be to have a guitar and never use it, and know how to play it, but never use it to glorify his name? That's why he gave us the gift, to use it. Again, he wants us to accept his mission, use his gifts, trust him completely, go where he leads, and complete his work with all the energy he gives you. Go where he tells you to go. Be where you're supposed to be, and do what you're supposed to do. Secondly, this is your church, all right? Your church. The Apostle Paul wrote, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Each Christian in a church should be able to say, it is my church. It is my church. I am thankful for it. I am proud of it. It's real to me. I'm glad to serve Christ in it. Have you found satisfaction in the church? Do you feel good knowing that this church stands for God and his way of life? It stands for the Bible. It stands for the people, for home, for life after death. It is a place of discovery. In the church, you can discover Christ. You can discover new friends, best friends, yourself, joy, and God's help. What you need most, you can find in his church, your church. Is thirdly, our church. No individual, not one person, single individual, owns the church, all right? Regardless of what some may think, all right? Doesn't matter how long you've been here. I've seen it wherever I go. It doesn't matter how long you've been here or how short a time you've been here. Doesn't matter how much coin you have or how much coin you don't have. You don't own the church. Many members make up the church. It says in 1 Corinthians, Paul stresses this in 1 Corinthians 12:7. It says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Each part of the body has its proper function. The body grows as various parts do what they are made to do. I have my part. There are those who lead music. They have their part. There are those who lead children's ministry. They have their part. There are those who have an administrative mind. There are those who know how to handle our resources as they come in, make sure they're going to the right place. There are prayer warriors. There's different parts. All people in the church have to live in their own skin. They have unique backgrounds. They have their own set of problems. They have their own gifts from God. We're all unique. None of us are the same. God didn't create cookie cutter like Christians. We're all unique. He didn't create us so we're like, we love God. Yes, we do. We love God. How about you? Walking around like robots. We're all unique. The way we think, the way we look, the way we speak, the pigmentation of our skin. He's the one that invented the Crayola color box of crayons. They're all each individual, unique, and all very special. With all its differences, however, the church is made up of people who share many important things. Most important, we share life in Christ. As children of God, we all share the servant status Christ gave us. He says, I came to serve, not to be served. Why would we want to be any different? He's the one that set the example. He's the one that took off his outer garment and robed, put a towel around his waist and got on his knees and started washing the feet of the disciples. That was unheard of. Like, Jesus, no! You're like, you can't do that. You're not washing my feet. We have to have that same servant type of attitude. We need to emulate that. We share the goal of trying to become like Christ. That's our goal, to be like him. To have the dust on our face of him. We share a common need for each other and a common concern for each other. That's what we do here. Lastly, it's their church. The church is also for those now outside of Christ. This idea picks up the true spirit of missions. People are not going to know about him if we just hang out in here all the time. People off the street are just not going to come here. I mean, it's a nice facility and all, but it doesn't matter how big a sign we put out. Doesn't matter how smooth the road is ever paved. That's not going to bring them in. You are. I am. It's out in the street where the rubber meets the road, right? It's like me going in, talking to my neighbor and saying, hey, how you doing? I mean, do you all know all your neighbors? I'm just asking. Do you know your neighbors? Do you know the person to the left or to the right? Do they know why you leave at 9:30 or some of you 9:45? Some of you 9:55 from your house? Do they know where you're going? I mean, they might think it's the fair, but the fair doesn't run year long, right? Do they know where you're going? And why? Why it's so important? And what it means to you? Do they know that? That's your mission, to let them know. Not just to hop in your vehicle and say, hey, peace out, and head out, you know? To go over there and speak with them. That's your mission. Even at work or at school. I know school's a hard place. People are going to make fun of me. They made fun of him too. Just telling you. He took it a lot worse than what you're ever going to get. The idea pick up the true spirit of mission. Christ loves the whole world and died for every person in the world. He died for everybody. He wants the church to reach out to the outsiders. Jesus constantly is reaching out to those, I say those, he's reaching out to people that like I used to be like. Like what you used to be like. I know you're saying, JR, you don't know me that good. Oh, but he does. He does. He's reaching out to the dirty. He's reaching out to the sinful. He's reaching out to the foreign, the irreligious, and the snubbed. The early church decided to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. We see that in Acts, in that third chapter, where people were giving all of their possessions and reaching out. What would it be like to be able to, for us to reach out in a way that we saw that happened in what, Acts, the third chapter, where people heard about Jesus and they surrendered their life to him and they had like 3,000 people plus coming to know him. That's a little bit more than what this parking lot can handle, but we can just push the overflow across the street to the fairgrounds. We are to speak the gospel to everybody. You never know who might need to hear him that day. But if you don't say anything, then they're not going to know of him. Every person you meet is a potential follower of Christ. I would have never known. I know that now. I would have never known that where I was working at before, and I've shared this story before, but I'm at work and this guy comes up because he sees that although I like the guys that I work with, some of the stuff that they talked about, what was coming out of their mouth, I just didn't want to be associated with that. And not that I didn't like them. I told him, I said, hey, I just told him straight out, you guys are a great group of guys, but what comes out of your mouth, it's a little bit too much for me. Maybe back in the day, I was okay with it, but I'm a new man now. And just letting you know. So everybody understood that why I wasn't there, but this one gentleman came up to me and said, he goes, hey, are you a preacher or something? You know, you believe in God or something like that? I'm like, yeah. Now, mind you, this guy, not like... I was any different, but nothing really good came out of his mouth, ever. And I think we've been around those type of individuals, like dropping the F-bomb like a B-52 bomber. I'm just telling you, he was just like, I'm like, okay. And things that come out were foul. Nothing good. Even about his own family, I'm like, man, come on. But he asked me that day, aren't you like a preacher or something? Or, you know, God? I'm like, yeah, I am. What can you tell me about Jesus? Oh, well, we only have a little bit of time, but we can break. I'm just like, you know, I'm like, hey, he's the reason why I'm alive today. He's the reason why I'm alive today, point blank. Three lunches from there, he's bought a Bible. He asked me where I should start reading. I told him Leviticus. No, I'm just kidding. But he had a Bible. And he comes back to me the next day. He goes, man, I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm like, really? Wow. And so I said, you know, that's great. I mean, I know there's some people that I worship with. They haven't read that much of the Bible in the whole year, and you read that all last night. And he goes, yeah, it's just, Jesus, he's something else, isn't he? Oh, yeah. You know, it's great when other people see Jesus the way you see him. He's the one that's awesome. And they see that, and they have no knowledge of Jesus. He has read just those few books of the Bible. They're like, man, that Jesus is something. Oh, man. By the fourth lunch we had together, because I said, hey, it's cool that you're reading all of this, but unless you move it from here to here, it really means nothing. I mean, you have all the head knowledge, but unless you move from here to here, it means nothing. And he says, well, how does that happen? And it's like, you know, you never expect that, but then it's like, well, how does that happen? So is he asking? Is he asking, you know, the question, how can I be saved? How I start a relationship? I'm like, there? Are we there? I'm like, so are you ready to surrender your life and start a relationship with him? And he's like, yeah, I am. So over the hood of my red Ford Bronco that I had, I said, just repeat after me. And he bowed his head and we prayed and he accepted Jesus Christ, started a relationship with him. It's something about, it just turns out that his sister-in-law was worshiping where I was worshiping. And she goes, what happened to this guy? He said he found Lord at work. Don't you work there? I'm like, yep. You just don't know who's in your sphere of influence that is wanting Jesus Christ. And they're not going to know unless you say something. You know, you can live it out. They see that. But sometimes you just got to ask them, are you tired of being tired? Do you want a new way of life? And you can put it in the way your vernacular. You can choose how you're going to share it, but share it. Share Jesus Christ. Share what church is really about. It's Christ. It's yours. It's ours. And it's theirs. Father God, this morning we have humbly submitted to you and given you our all in all. We recognize that this church belongs to you. We are your bride. You are the groom. And Father, I pray we do everything in our being to honor that, to being the bride, to being the church. And Father, I pray that those things that are happening here would be missional. That they would speak to those outside of these doors. And that we'd be able to encourage one another, those who are inside these doors. Thank you for the church. In your name I pray. Amen.